Okay, good morning.
Morning.
Quite busy this morning with all the food going around and everything, so lots to talk about. Just a couple of things. I'm sort of jumping in a bit, really. Dave's doing the notices, but things that we need to let you know about. We're running low on biscuits in the kitchen for Sunday morning, so if any of you want to go to the supermarket and buy some nice biscuits and donate them, that would be good. The other thing is, you'll notice that both Joyce and Bianca aren't here this morning, so the children won't be going out. If there is any children, they'll be staying in church. They won't be going out to worship warriors. But they have prepared clipboards with puzzles on and crayons and everything, and I will give these out in case any children do come this morning. I'll give them out in the second hymn, so if you see me wandering, and if children come later, which they probably will in the second hymn, you'll see me wandering again. Just so you know what's happening, they can have these puzzles to do because they're not going out. Okay, now, Dave with the proper notices.
I'm doing the proper notices, right? Right, the proper notices are, yeah, there's a lunch, don't forget, after this service in the hall there. You'll probably already know that. On Wednesday, there'll be the home group Bible study, and this time it's held at our house, and at 7:30 on Wednesday. Friday, we've got the usual cafe and craft group at 10 o'clock, and all are welcome to those. And on Sunday, next Sunday, the service will be taken by Tom Baird, and the worship warriors will meet at 11:30. Also, this hadn't been announced previously, there's a notice on the board at the back there, and if anyone's read it, it's about the Call of the Kingdom, a Zoom call for training. The reason I'm bringing it up is that if you've read that notice and noticed the date on it, the date has now changed. So if you, it's now on the 2nd of August, and it's a course run by the Academy, which runs courses for the Wesleyan Reformed Union, and it's an all-day Zoom thing. So if you want more details, check the notice board there. That's all the notices that I can think of. Roger, it's a pleasure to have you here with us again this morning. We pray that God will bless you as you minister to us.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Good morning, everybody. It's good to be with you and to share with you. I've got one verse that encapsulates what I'm going to say this morning. And it's from 2 Timothy 1, and it's verse 5. And Paul writes, "I've been reminded of your sincere faith, which first lived in your grandmother Lois and in your mother Eunice, and I am persuaded now lives in you also." It's all the rage on the television at the moment, isn't it? Programmes about people's background. You know, who are you? Where have you come from? I don't know if you like watching them. I've watched one or two, but not all the series. But it really is, isn't it? It's quite a... it's quite common at the moment to see people reflecting on where they come from, who their parents and grandparents and great-grandparents and great-great-great-grandparents. Sometimes they go back 100 or 200 or 300 years and find all skeletons in the cupboard and all sorts of strange things in the family background. But have you ever reflected on your spiritual family background? In this verse, Paul, talking to a young man, Timothy, who is going to be like a son and is like a son to Paul, and who will take over the leadership of the church in Ephesus, but who is still young, probably still in his 20s. And I guess people might have thought, well, Timothy, you're only young, you're not yet fully mature, you're not yet fully experienced in Christian things. Are you someone who is able to take leadership role in the emerging new church. And in this verse, Paul points out that Timothy's faith has been grounded through two generations, his mum and his grandmum. And so this morning, we're going to be thinking about our spiritual family background and giving thanks to God for all that he's done and asking God to help us to be good spiritual examples for the next and the next and the next generation. And we'll come to that as we go on in the service. We're going to sing a hymn of praise to God. Jesus is Lord. Creation's voice proclaims it. As we worship God, Jesus is Lord. Let's stand and sing. Amen. Let's pray together, shall we? Our Lord and our God, Father, Son and Holy Spirit, we come with those words of praise on our lips to say Jesus is Lord. We thank you, Lord Jesus, for your willingness to come to this earth, to come and to teach, to call disciples, and ultimately to die on the cross for our sake. Thank you for all that you've done, Lord Jesus, for us. We praise you and thank you that we can come and worship you this morning and that we can come to bring ourselves to you, asking that you will speak to us, asking that you will challenge us, asking that you will remind us of your love. And Lord, we come We realise that we fail you. We do things that we shouldn't do. We fail to do good that we should. And so we come asking again for forgiveness and praising you that because you died, because your blood was shed, your body broken on the cross for us, when we come in repentance and faith, you forgive us. And we thank you for that forgiveness that we ask again for this morning. Lord, enable us to be assured of your love and your forgiveness, for us to put our guilt aside and to worship you. And Lord, as we think about those who've been important guides in our lives, as we remember perhaps Sunday school teachers, family members, people who looked out for us spiritually, we give you thanks for all your goodness to us. For we bring our prayer in the name of Jesus. Amen. So, Timothy had a Christian grandma and a Christian mum. And Timothy shared their faith. Interestingly, it doesn't mention any dads, does it? Wonder if that says something, that it's actually our grandmums and our mums who are find it easier to share faith and understanding of spiritual things. May I tell you a little of my spiritual history? Not because I want to particularly dwell on me as an individual, but because I want to use it to illustrate a particular point. Some of you know, I'm local. I was born and brought up less than 2 miles away in Folsill in Coventry. I lived for the first 14 years above the shop. My mum ran a wallpaper and paint shop, and my dad was developing a small building business. And we lived on the corner of St Lawrence's Road and Folsill Road in Coventry, say less than 2 miles away. And my parents met in the 1930s when they were at Salem Baptist Church in Longford, the youth group there. My mum always used to say that in those days, in the 1930s, there really wasn't any social activity for young people outside of the church. Churches had, well, Salem had a tennis club, a football club, youth club, and lots of youth activities. And my parents went along. They had Christian grandparents. Sorry, Christian parents. So, you know, grandparents. And they got sent to Salem. And my parents became were baptised and members of the youth group. Then, and they got married just before, well, just in 1940. My dad went into the war in 1939. But somehow, like many of their generation, the Second World War put them off active Christian faith. And though they went along to church on the sermons, as it was called in those days, Sunday school anniversary, church anniversary, they weren't regular in attendance. We had a church, Folsom Road Congregational Church, right next door to the shop where I lived. And so I went along, was sent along, like many kids of my age, to Sunday school. And I went along to Folsom Road Church from a youngish age I don't know precisely when, perhaps five. And it was next door, so you could just walk around and go to Sunday school. And in when I was 13, in 1963, we had a young new minister come to us, and who someone who really took the young people seriously, developed a youth group for us. We went away on a holiday in 1965 at Easter, and David Beatty shared the Christian gospel with us as young people, challenged us to respond to the Christian gospel. And it took me another 6 months to get round to committing my life to Jesus. But on the last Friday of October in 1965, which is a long time ago now, when I was 15, I committed my life to the Lord. And I thought I had made that commitment de novo. I'd done it off my own back. You know, my parents weren't active as Christians, and so becoming a Christian was something new that I was doing and making the choice myself. There was a chorus at the time, I don't know if you can remember it. We had a young people's hymn book called Youth, I think it was called Youth Praise. You remember? I have decided to follow Jesus. I have, and I thought, yeah, I've decided it. I've made my own choice. I've come to follow Jesus, and I've done it sort of on my own back. Nobody in the family is particularly Christian, I thought. And you know, I've come to know Jesus. Praise the Lord. What I didn't realise until she told me after I came home and said, look, I've become a Christian. What I didn't know until she told me was that my nanny, my mum's mum, was praying for me every day of my life that I might come to follow Jesus. And the interesting thing about this church is that here's my grandma's Bible. Presented to Emma Elizabeth Turner, that's my grandmother. This book is given as a token of respect from the Free Methodist Sabbath Sunday School teachers, Alderman's Green, October the 11th, 1903. So my grandma, my nanny, she died in 1976, aged 89. My nanny prayed for me every day of her life, and her prayers were answered, and I gave my life to the Lord when I was 15. My nanny was only, she wasn't in good health. So she didn't go out to church herself very much, but she was a wonderful believer and really prayed for me and was fascinated when I went on to start doing lay preaching and things like that. I've got a Young's Concordance to the Bible, which my grandma gave me in 1970. Anyway. And I'm not saying that. I mean, you've obviously learnt a bit about my spiritual history, but I wanted to share it because I wanted you to reflect on your spiritual history and who in your background was it that was influential. And it may not be somebody in your family, maybe somebody at school. I remember being a keen Christian, and we had a number of other keen Christians at the same time as me at school. And we started a Christian union at school. And the head teacher was a sort of a slightly formal Christian, and didn't seem to look very strong, very encouragingly at the kids setting up a Christian union at school. But we had I had a lovely physics teacher who was new to the school and who was a keen Christian, and he really was very influential in my early Christian life, as was David Beattie, the minister who helped me come to commit myself to Jesus. So I guess we may all have people who were either involved in our becoming Christians or were influential in those early days when we were learning what it's like to be a Christian and how actively we follow Jesus. Say, the scripture says Timothy had a grandma and a mum who were followers of Jesus, and they were obviously influential in enabling Timothy to come to know Jesus too. So let's just spend a moment in prayer as we give thanks to God for those who we remember with gratitude, who helped us on our spiritual journey to be the people that we are today and the followers of Jesus that we have become. Now then, I don't know if you if you're happy with this sort of prayer, but I'm going to suggest that I'll open in prayer, and if you want to just shout some names out of people that you want to thank God for, and then when we conclude, we can say the Amen together. And the Amen means I agree and thank you, Lord. And so as a church family, we are thanking God for those known to us who have been influential in our spiritual journeys. So if you're all right with that, you all right with that?
Yeah.
Great. Okay, so I'll open, then you shout some names out, and I'll close this. And we can all say a good loud Amen. So, Lord, we want to come and thank you for all those that we remember in our lives who have been there helping us to come to follow Jesus, and who in those early days, or perhaps in more recent times, have been great people in supporting us, encouraging us, and helping us to grow in our faith. And so, Lord, in gratitude for all that you've done through these people in our lives, Lord, we just want to shout out some names to you, and we do that now.
Margaret, Sally and Angus Holmes, Grendel.
Amen. Amen.
Mr. Mabry.
Jeffrey Lee.
Peter. David.
So, Lord, we thank you for all those that have been named before you now. And we praise you and thank you for your work in their lives to help us come to know and love you. We bless you and thank you for all these your servants that have been so helpful and influential in our lives. We bring our prayer in the name of Jesus. And the people said together, Amen. 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 Thank you very much indeed. We're going to sing again. We're going to sing "Great is the Darkness That Covers the Earth." It's a hymn that describes the present condition of our world, but then goes on to eventually, in the third verse, the second coming, and that God's going to sort it all out. So let's stand and sing, shall we? "Great is the Darkness."
Maybe you've seen quite a lot coming and going just lately. It wasn't for the lunch. What happened, Dan, I, Amanda and Nathan were just coming into church and there's a young lady outside, very distressed. She was babysitting a young boy and the young boy had run off. And there she was looking. But they've managed to get hold of the mother now. The mother's home and things are sort of coming together. But just thank the Lord that there was someone that this young girl could turn to when she couldn't get hold of the mother. So let's pray for that situation now, shall we? Heavenly Father, we just thank you, Lord, for the way things work out. Lord, for the way you put your people in certain places. Lord, we just thank you for Danai and Madeline and Nathan this morning, who were able to support that young lady. And Lord, we just pray for her. Lord, she must be absolutely at her wit's end, especially when it's someone else's child and you're responsible, you feel responsible. But Lord, we just thank you that the mother's in on it and the mother's home from work now. And Lord, we just pray that above everything else, that child will be found very soon. Amen. Amen.
Thank you very much. Shall we take up our offering for God's work?
still will follow. Though none go with me, I still will follow. Though none go with me, I still will follow. No turning back, no turning back.
Thank you very much. Shall we pray a blessing on this offering? Lord, we thank you for all your goodness and love to us. Lord, we can't earn your favour, but in gratitude for your love to us, we bring our gifts of money to you, praying that they may be used wisely for your work in this place and further afield. We pray in the name of Jesus. Amen. Amen. Thank you. Interestingly, your preacher for next Sunday, Tom Baird. Tom. Tom's family lived just opposite us at the shop on 664 Folser Road. They were at 948 or something. 949. It must have been an odd number. Anyway, the house sort of diagonally opposite was the doctor's house, because Tom Baird's dad, Tom, was Christian and deacon at Folser Road, and the Baird family lived diagonally opposite them. And we still see Tom and his wife Jane regularly. We're still good friends with them. We had we have a reunion of people that we were together as a youth group and as a young people's group in the late 1960s, and we had that reunion barbecue. We meet up twice a year, and I think there were 14 of us who are still in touch with each other from 60 years ago. Ooh, it's a long time, isn't it? A long time. Anyway, so yeah, Tom's one of us, one of ours. It's time to bring our prayers of intercession. The first verse of that last song that we sang talks about the madness and lies, all the awful stuff that goes on in our world, and we need to bring that to the Lord. So let's pray together, shall we? Our Lord and our God, Father, Son and Holy Spirit, we come to bring the needs of our world to you, a world that you created perfect. And Lord, through our sin as human beings and our failure, we have got a world that is full of bloodshed and violence, war, famine, all the sort of horrible stuff, Lord, that we see on our television screens every night when we turn our news on. The madness and lies, as that song says. Lord, we bring our broken world to you. We want to pray, Lord, for an end to the violence in Gaza and in the Middle East. We want to pray, Lord, that you will speak to leaders and those with power who can influence the whole situation and bring peace. And Lord, that prayer, we pray for peace in the Middle East. We pray for the Ukraine and Russian conflict. Lord, that you will change the mind of Russian leaders, and that there might be an end to hostilities and a peaceful, negotiated settlement of that crisis. We pray too for the situation in Iran, and pray again, Lord, that you will enable peace to continue between Iran and Israel. And Lord, in the so many other parts of the world, Lord, in the threats that come from North Korea, the instability in a number of Eastern European countries, for the ongoing conflict in Somalia and Sudan and parts of sub-Saharan Africa. Lord, we bring all of these trouble spots to you and pray for peace. Praying, Lord, for justice. Praying for hope for so many who are displaced. Lord, we bring our world, our troubled world, to you. And Lord, in our prayers, we pray too for our own country, that you will guide our government and help them in the decisions that they make for the way in which our country is ruled. We pray, Lord, for the ongoing discussions about the future of personal payment and the whole of the benefit system, and pray that the right, fair decisions may be made. We pray, Lord, for our National Health Service, and pray that reform and sorting out of some of the log jams in the health service may happen, and that we may see an improved service occur, Lord. And we pray, Lord, for the Christian gospel as it is preached in churches and in youth clubs and in youth activities and in conventions all around our country. Lord, will you use the preaching of the good news to draw people to Jesus? We pray for a revival in our churches. We pray for a revival in our streets, and a turning to you, Lord. Lord, will you bless your church? We pray in the name of Jesus. Amen. I'm just going to read the passage that includes the verse. So I'm going to read verses 1 to 7, and then we'll come and pray for people and situations more close to us in this church family. So I'm going to read 2 Timothy, and it's verses 1 to 7. Paul, an apostle of Christ Jesus by the will of God, according to the promise of life that is in Christ Jesus, to Timothy, my dear son, grace, mercy, and peace from God the Father and Christ Jesus our Lord. I thank God, whom I serve as my forefathers did, with a clear conscience, as night and day I constantly remember you in my prayers. Recalling your tears, I long to see you, so that I may be filled with joy. Paul and Timothy had been split up. And I think the tears there are referring to the tears that Timothy shed when he was parted from Paul. And then Paul writes this, the verse that's our theme verse for today. I've been reminded of your sincere faith, which first lived in your grandmother Lois and in your mother Eunice, and I am persuaded now lives in you also. For this reason, I remind you to fan into flame the gift of God, which is in you through the laying on of my hands. For God did not give us a spirit of timidity, but a spirit of power, of love, and of self-discipline. And we pray God will just enable us to learn a bit more from that passage as we think about it again in a few minutes. But let's turn again in prayer, shall we? And let's pray for people and situations known to us. I'll leave a time of quiet so that you can name people. Particularly we're thinking of Audrey this morning and praying for her in hospital. So, Lord, we bring our prayers for people and situations known to us here at Alderman's Green. People in the church family, Lord, who would be here this morning if they could, but are prevented. And we think of Audrey in hospital. We think of others who are unwell at the moment, others perhaps who are on holiday. And, Lord, we bring to you all those who need that touch from you for healing, for restoration, for reassurance, for hope. And Lord, in a moment of quiet, we just name people before you in our hearts. Lord, as we bring those individuals to you, we also bring the whole of the church family here, praying for those in leadership roles, praying for those with responsibilities for different activities, praying, Lord, that you will guide and bless and encourage this church fellowship in their service for you in this community. And we pray, Lord, that you'll use this fellowship to reach out into the Alderman's Green area, to win people for Jesus, to draw people to yourself, and to enable people to come and to know and experience your love. For we bring our prayer in the name of Jesus. Amen. We're going to sing again. It's a song that says, "Restore, O Lord, the honour of your name." Just heard that the child's been found. Praise the Lord. Yeah, Lord, thank you that the child's been found safe. And we thank you for the prayers that we've said and the answers we've received, Lord. Amen. Good stuff. Thank you very much for sharing that. Thank you. So in just this next few minutes, I want us to think about what our role might be in helping others to come to know and love Jesus. What Paul says is, he talks about, and the NIV translated, "You've been reminded of your sincere faith." And I looked that word up, and the Greek, and some old, the Greek means sincere, it means unfeigned, It means open, it means clear, and so clear. So Paul is obviously describing a real live faith that was there in grandma, mother, and now is there in Timothy. The Bible, in the Old Testament, the parents were expected to teach their children the basics, the truths of the faith. And children learnt bits of the Old Testament, particularly the first five books, off by heart in school as a part of their education. And there would also be family times when at Passover or one of the other festivals, there would be a liturgy, there would be words that would be said and truths about the Christian, about the Jewish faith that would be shared. And so within families, within churches, there is that responsibility for us to pass on the truths of the faith. But we have to recognise that coming to a live, sincere faith in Jesus isn't something that you can just teach. Because live faith in Jesus isn't just an accumulation of knowledge, is it? It isn't just knowing about Jesus. It's knowing Jesus for yourself. And so there is that step of faith that needs to be taken by anyone who wants to become a follower of Jesus. You need to make a step of faith. And I made it, as I've said, last Friday in October 1965. And I chose, prayed and said, I want Jesus in my life. I want God's forgiveness. And then we're on a journey, aren't we? Then we're on a journey of growing more like Jesus, becoming his apprentices, following what he does, doing the sort of stuff that Jesus does. And we follow and serve Jesus. But it does take a step of faith for the individual to come. We can teach, we can encourage, we can speak about the faith. But actually, that step of commitment requires the individual to act. So what can we do? What can we do? Well, I can tell you from my personal experience of my nanny, you can pray. You can pray for people. You can pray that they will receive from God that enlightenment. They'll have their eyes open to see what they need to do. They will come to understand that they need to open their lives to Jesus. We will share what we've done, perhaps, and pray for them that they may make that step of faith. So, teaching about the truths of the faith is important, and we share that within our families. And prayer is the other vital step that we can each take to help people come to know and love Jesus. And I'm sure that we do. I'm sure that there are sincere prayers that go up every day for our family. And I'm sure that that may be the same in your situation as I know it is in my situation. And I know that for many of us, there are real pastoral issues and concerns. I've got two children, and one of two children, both married, they've each got three grandkids. One of our children and their wife and family are active believers and who are going along to church, and their three grandchildren part of the church fellowship. I've got another child who was active as a Christian and married a lovely Christian bloke, but both of them at the moment are not active in Christian things, and so that's a hurt for me. That's a concern. What can I do? Diddly squat, really, in terms of human, but I can pray, and I pray for them every day that they may come back to that active faith and trust in Jesus that they once expressed. They were active as Christians in teenage and young adult time. But I guess it's the pressure of, both working, bringing up three kids. That's not an excuse, but I guess that's what happens, and that things of the Christian faith become less important as the stuff of life becomes more important. What can we do? We can pray. And rather than rabbit on for much longer, I think I'm going to suggest that we actually do that now. And could we do a prayer time like we did before? I'll open. And if you've got people that you are concerned for, perhaps people who once were Christians who are now drifting away, people who've parts of members of the family or friends or the church community who no longer are active as Christians, or perhaps have never come to faith and trust in Christ, but people that you're very concerned about. I think we do this, and if we shout out names and if we say that loud amen together at the end, we're doing spiritual work, because I think there's power when we share in prayer. We may make prayers for our family a regular daily thing, but there is also an extra power, I believe, when we pray together as a church community and as a church family. And so I believe that we'll be doing spiritual work, and that God is able to use the prayers of his collective people in a way, not in a way that's different to when we pray individually, but it does show our commitment to the prayers that each of us bring individually. So I'll introduce us. I'll just again lay it open, shout out people that you're concerned about, that you want either to come back to Jesus or to get to know Jesus for the first time, and I'll bring the prayers together and we can say a very loud amen. So Lord, we come thanking you for all that you've done for us, realizing, Lord, that people need to make individual choices as they come to know and follow Jesus. And Lord, we've got people that we know who have not yet come to know you, and that we're very concerned for, that we pray for on a regular basis. And Lord, there are others who have been active as Christians and who have drifted away and are no longer active. And we long to see them back in the faith, back active in the life of your church. And so, Lord, there are people and names that we want to bring before you now, and we shout them out to you now. Lord, you've heard the names that we've brought to you. You know the heartache and the concern that we have for them to come to know you or come back to you. And Lord, we just share these prayers together. And Lord, we long for you to answer these prayers and for these people to come to active, live faith and trust in you. And to be followers of you in your church, to bring glory to Jesus. Lord, we bring our heartfelt prayers to you. In the name of Jesus, and all the people said together, Amen. 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 Thank you. I lost him. And I've chosen Father, I Place Into Your Hands because it expresses the fact that just exactly what we've done. There is sometimes a limit to what we can humanly engineer. And we have to say to God, Lord, it's over to you. There's nothing else I can do. It's in your hands. And we need to have that humility and that willingness to hand things over to the Lord that we can't deal with in our own strength. And this song really helps us in that process. Thank you. Shall we bless one another with words of the grace? May the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with us all evermore. Amen. Amen. Thank you.